our online message is a wonderful way to reach out and communicate with people that can't make it to church in person, but we always like seeing you in person. I entitled my message this week, Bringing in the Sheaves. If you remember, and you've been around a long time, there's a little book that we used to sing out of. It was called the Cokesbury. Well, in the Cokesbury number 165, there's a song, Bringing in the Sheaves. Now, I'm only going to read the first verse, but if you got a Cokesbury or you got resources to do it, look at all the words in this little hymn called Bringing in the Sheaves. This is what it says. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, that's what I was thinking about. And what I was thinking about, when you think about bringing in the sheaves, do you think about fruit? Probably not. You think about apples and oranges and mangoes and even tomatoes, but it's very seldom do we think of wheat. And that's what bringing in the sheaves is all about. And when we read about fruit in Scripture, however, the most common definition of fruit is wheat, either wheat of the fields or grapes of the vine. In today's Scripture, John in chapter 3, 7-18, and you can find the reading on the website here, he issued a warning to the crowds coming to repent and be baptized, John being John the Baptist. And he tells them, they must produce fruit. In this metaphor, John's talking about wheat. Now, how do we know that? Because the second part of his message has to do with another prominent metaphor of Scripture, and that's the threshing floor. Now, we don't think much about the threshing floor in our day and time because we have machines and all that stuff that does and prepares the wheat and gets the fruit. And it's harvested or prepared, and most of us no longer even live in an agricultural community or was raised on a farm or even did your own farming for your own use, you know. We simply go to the grocery store. It was a funny little thing. Somebody asked a grade schooler one time, where does milk come from? He said, Winn-Dixie. Well, our favorite bread, our cereal, our flour, and we go on our way. We just go to the store and buy it. Because of this, many of the fantastic metaphors in Scripture can really confuse us, or at the very least pass us by if we don't investigate their meaning. We can lose the weight, pun intended, of the message of Scripture. Well, this is the case of wheat. Everyone in John's day would have easily understood his message about wheat. For most, that message was good news. For a few designated by John as vipers, the news wouldn't be so good with it. That passage can be seen quite similar to the kinds of passage that we read over in the book of Revelation. The text sounds scary, but it is written as good news for those following Christ. Their lives could be tough. They could be going through some heat for what they believe, and they could find it difficult or even risky to live in the ways that was suggested. They could experience losses due to their generosity, but in the end, they will win. Now, that was the good news when it came down. Their lives would be honored, celebrated, lifted up, and gathered in by God. Remember the song that I read, Bringing in the Sheaves? Well, that song, in a way, helps us to understand that we live our lives as sowers of good or, unfortunately, evil. When we sow well, God blesses the fruit of our actions, and we will live and be rewarded with an abundance of grace. We will, at the harvest time, celebrate the richness of the sheaves of the grain. Fruit and food for all. Hallelujah! Food then, and until recently in many areas, was not a matter of going to the grocery store. No, even then, Most of us probably remember the shortages of COVID-19 when the storehouses were dependent and they began to fail us, and we were shocked, and most of us never had experienced shortages like that before. Some of us might even remember experience a similar shortage in the gasoline industry back in the 70s. I happened to own a service station at the time, and I went through all that. And by the way, gas in the 70s, when I was selling it during that shortage, was 39.9 cents a gallon. Well, the mass shortages of the Great Depression, now most of our parents and grandparents maybe have experienced it, it frightens us when our streams of goods and services begin to fail. The song in this scripture, celebrate the joy of abundance, the joy of restoration, more than enough for all, the gratitude of God's providence and grace. And in this case, God acknowledges and rewards and a final victory. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. You know, it rewards us, overcomers, so to speak. Well, John's appeal to the people of Israel covered everyone, no matter what their class was, what their station in life, or their age. He called them to repent, to live according to God's expectation, and celebrate the coming of God. Now, we know that became Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel. For those of us whose lives were tough, the coming of God would be a victory. Or as Jesus would put it, a release from captivity, a feeding of the hungry, giving sight to the blind, a liberation from one's difficult circumstances, and a victory of God's grace for those who live according to God's goodness, generosity, meekness, and compassion. Now, for those who do not so much. For those doing the oppressing, the cheating, and the stealing, they would be removed from their post of power. How? God's own threshing floor. Now, here's where the metaphor gets really good. Think about the threshing floor. They were scattered as sorts of places all around the country. They were also practical places because they allowed the harvester, the farmer, to sort the heavy wheat seed fruit from the seed that was covering or chaff. Think of a husk on corn that you rip off in order to get to the corn inside the cob. You throw the husk away, but you roast the corn. Think about the peanut. We got a lot of peanut farmers around here. The peanut has a reddish thin husk around it when you get it out of that hard shell. Most of us remove it to get to the actual weighty peanut within. I eat the whole thing, but that's me. It's the same way with other grains. If you ever look closely at a grain of wheat, you'll see that it's also a kind of thin, light husk on it. And if you peel away the husk, it's so light and weightless that it merely floats away. So it's easily blown off by the wind. And the only grain is remaining. You don't want to eat the husk, that's for sure. You only want to eat the grain. Well, threshing floors that were, they were flat stone round surfaces with a lip on the edge, and they were built on the top of hills in order to elevate places where the wind could easily blow away the chaff of the grain, leaving the weighty wheat to lie on the threshing floor. The farmer or the harvester would use what they called a winnowing fork or a thrashing tool to break the husk and separate them from the fruit of the wheat. Then once the chaff had been blown off and they throw it up in the air, he would gather the grain left on the thrashing floor, gather it and put it into bundles, and take it to the barn for storage. So the gathering of the grain was cause for celebration. An abundant harvest meant food for the during the long winters. But the thrashing floors were used for other purposes as well. They became gathering places for meeting and sacrifices, places of judgment within the tribes, and even funerals. Those attending a funeral would be standing around the thrashing floor, telling stories and mourning the loss of their relative or friend. It's a little bit like in 2 Samuel, chapter 24, where King David celebrates God's decision to stop the angel of death from punishing sin by building an altar to God right there on the threshing floor on Mount Moriah. That's the same hill in which God spared Isaac. Now, this later would be a site of Solomon's temple, and later the temple in Jerusalem, which is now covered by the Dome of the Rock. They built that dome on top of the old temple. Part of the temple wall is still out. That's what they call the Western Wall. You see people on television standing in front of it praying. But the threshing floor had become a symbol for many, not of God's retribution, but of God's grace, favor, compassion, and salvation for the people of Israel. A place in which the power of death had been stayed by God's own decision. So what we need to understand is that the all-powerful God has the right in any circumstance to create or to destroy at will. But I love the buts. That God gives up that power out of love and compassion for God's people. And that is what we celebrate. In our scripture today, Luke's telling us that John's explanation of what was to come, the people celebrated and proclaimed the good news. The coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. The judgment of God would be the best thing ever to happen. The only ones not celebrating would be those who were wed to power. You know, the officials that John called vipers, welding poison at those unable to defend themselves. But for the majority of the people, for all who may have made mistakes but who would now repent, they would be granted pardon, given an abundant blessing, lifted up to God, rewarded for eternity. Hallelujah. What a blessing God has given to us. Think about it. The threshing floor represented salvation, mercy, freedom, security, just as it was with Ruth and her marriage to Boaz. And today, in this time of Advent, we too celebrate the coming, or the true presence of Jesus the Messiah, because we have history on our side, but we are celebrating the advent of His first coming, who came for all of us to stay the forces of sin and death and to offer His gift of salvation, to appeal to God for our lives and offer Himself in our stead. You know, Jesus would be our first fruit or our saving grace of our abundant life, our get-out-of-jail-free card. If you play Monopoly, the card issued directly from God to us. And all we need to do is put God first, accept Him into our life, and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Be Lord of my life, and I thank you. So Advent is just not a time of waiting, although we celebrate as waiting, because we are in Advent right now, waiting for Jesus to return. But this Advent season that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, because He has come. He has come with good news for us and for all generations. So my prayer for all of us this Advent season is that may your heart be glad and your soul rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So gather around the threshing floor, for He is bringing in the sheaves. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good preparation for the season of Advent and the coming of our Lord. Christ Mass, celebrating the Mass of Christ. You know, the world calls it Christmas, and that's okay. In Jesus' name, make sure you have room for Him in your heart. Amen.